As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not this man's sin or his parents, but that the work of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and I washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes. I washed and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" And he said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How does he now see?" The parents answered, "We know this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He's of age. He will speak for himself." The parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciple?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why is this an amazing thing? You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes? We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard they had cast him out, and having found him, said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who's speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Jesus said, For judgment I came into the world, that those who do not see may see, and those who may see become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, Are we also blind? Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you see, we see your guilt remains. The word of God for the people of God. So, this morning at Cooper's Chapel, while we were worshiping, my sermon got changed. Because evidently there was a word that needed to happen at Cooper's Chapel that started with what the beginning of this passage was talking about, with who sinned. Was it him or his parents that sinned that forced him to be blind? And so I just went with it without any outline or without preparing that message and gave Cooper's Chapel the message that the Lord wanted me to give them. Y'all aren't getting that message. You're getting the one I actually prepared for. So this message, we first need to talk about the healing of what happened. So this man who was blind, Jesus came over and he spit on the ground like I told these children. He made mud out of it and he rubbed the mud on his eyes. And he had him go wash his eyes off. All of this was done on the Sabbath. So Jesus has done all sorts of stuff wrong according to the religious leaders of the time. He worked on the Sabbath. He spit on the ground and created the mud slurry. That was work. It was akin to kneading dough. Do you realize how much saliva it would take to make mud enough to mess with somebody's eyes? That had to have been really weird to watch. But Jesus worked on the Sabbath. Then he healed somebody on the Sabbath, and according to the Pharisees, the only thing you could do on the Sabbath is save somebody's life. So if you did any type of healing that was not life-saving healing on the Sabbath, you were sinning. So that's two things he's done. The third that Christ did here is he told this blind man, go to the pool of Siloam and wash off your face. So he had this blind man go do work because he had to walk to the pool of Siloam to wash off his face. And Jews at the time were only allowed to take so many steps. So not only did Jesus himself sin, but he's told somebody else to sin. And in the midst of all this, according to the Pharisees, a healing happened, which is causing all sorts of theological issues for them because, as it said in the scripture, how could a sinner do the healing? If he was with sin, how could he heal? And so this is a huge theological controversy, which is why they have to go interview the man's parents. And when they interview the parents won't say how he got healed. They won't talk about Jesus because if they had, they would have been kicked out and excommunicated from the synagogue. So think about not being able to come to church anymore. Think about being told, you can't be here. That's what the parents were afraid was going to happen. And so they left it to their son to explain it. And I got to tell you, as the son who hasn't been able to see his entire life, suddenly he can see, and they're trying to get him to condemn the person that healed him. I'm with the son. I don't know that I would condemn that man. I'd be like, yo, y'all need to go like, let's learn from him. You know, I've come to your synagogue. Y'all never did anything at all for me. But look at this. Look at what has just happened. And he goes, the Pharisees finally have enough of him. They're done with him. And they actually kick the son out of the synagogue. So he has been excommunicated and will not be allowed to go back there and worship. When Jesus hears this, as the story said, he goes and finds him. You've been kicked out of the church, but now you get to meet the Son of Man. And that's me. And so he worships Jesus Christ. But at the very end, we talk about that while you were blind, you did not sin. It was not considered sin, but now that you see, it is. Let me get exactly what can you throw the end of that back up there? No, she's not back there anymore. Rosen ran off. Oh, she is back there. Throw the last verse up for me, if you can do that. Aha. If you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty, Jesus replied, but you remain guilty because you claim you can see. If you don't know, if you have no knowledge of what you've done wrong, are you really sinning? This goes back to, if the law had never been created, would it be a sin to break the law? This goes back to when Moses was given the law, before he was given the law, when people weren't following what the law said, were they actually sinning against God? But let's go back a step further, because this, to me, goes all the way back to Genesis 3. I got a nod back there. Somebody else knows exactly what's going on here. Because it wasn't an apple that Eve and Adam partook of, necessarily. It was the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Before that original sin, which was the knowledge of good and evil, came to be, there was no sin. Before we gained that wisdom, we did not sin. It's similar to looking at a little child. When a child messes up and does something wrong, and they don't realize what they've done is wrong, yeah, they needed to be corrected, but it wasn't that they were doing it intentionally. They weren't intentionally sinning to hurt somebody, not themselves or anybody else. But once we know what we're doing is wrong, once we know that what we have done is outside of God's will, and yet we keep doing it, we are sinners. For now you see, and yet you continue. This is a big deal for a lot of us. This is a huge deal because we try to make ourselves blind to the fact that what we're doing is wrong. We know that what we're doing is wrong, but we find a way to close our own eyes and ignore it, and ignore what's going on around us. And in doing so, we are sinning, not only against God, but a lot of times against our neighbors, against those around us, because we aren't blind, because we do know, and we've accepted that, and now it is time for us to start acting like we can see. For we were blind, but now we see, right? And if we can see, it's time for us to do something about it. It's time for us to start acting like we can see and not like we're blind. And this doesn't just mean us as ourselves that we need to take care of. I don't need to just take care of Adam and make Adam head towards perfection. But I need to look over at, I'm trying to pick out somebody to talk about here. I like Lonnie. It's always Lonnie because he's right up here. But I need to be able to walk over to Lonnie and look at Lonnie and tell Lonnie, you're doing wrong, if you're doing wrong. Now, I know Lonnie can take that because Lonnie and I've talked about this in Bible study before. I want Lonnie to look at me and tell me, you're doing wrong, because we are not blind, none of us. We're not blind to what we do wrong. We're not blind to what he does wrong. And this isn't judgment and condemnation. No, this is love. Y'all, this is love when I walk up to my brother and lovingly correct and rebuke. Not kick them out of the synagogue like they did the blind man because he proclaimed Jesus. But when I love them and say, you know you're doing wrong and you need to start doing right. You know what you've done here isn't good and you need to start doing it correctly. Just as with a child, right there, when you correct a child to stop them from hurting themselves, you're not doing it because you hate the child. You're doing it because you truly love that child. When you extend that hand to that child, even though that hand may be the hand of discipline, if you're doing it because you love the child and you want them to grow up right, you want them to be raised right, it's love. When we do this with our brother and sister, it's through love because we are not blind. Not one of us in here is blind. And since we can see, to not correct ourselves and to not correct our brothers and sisters is a sin. Because a sin is anything that separates you from God or separates somebody else from God because you did it or didn't do it. We are not blind. We see quite well. And we need to stop closing our eyes and acting like we are. Amen. Bow your heads. Father God, I want to thank you so much for this congregation, Lord. And Lord, I want to thank you for my brother Lonnie, who gets to be an example for me all the time up here, Lord. I thank you for his heart for you. And I thank you that he gives me a person that I can display, that he knows it's not out of malice. But Lord, I thank you for everyone here and for who they are, God. I ask that you open our eyes to our own lives, to be able to look at ourselves and say, this is what I need to do. This is where I need to change. I ask that you open our eyes to our brothers and sisters and give us the wisdom to be able to look at them and tell them where they are closing their eyes and trying to act like they are blind. Give us the wisdom to do it lovingly, Lord, and give us the strength and the confidence to do it firmly, as we would to a child through love. God, we thank you for the times that you've rebuked us out of love. We thank you for those rebukes, and we thank you for them pushing us forward to make us stronger in the faith. And we ask that our strength in the faith be a shining light to all those around us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.